This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening everyone. Shalom aleichem, brachim avon. We're continuing in Daf Shavua, Daf Tzadi Hei Amar Aleph, for Parshas Koirach, that has Tzadi Hei Psukim, of course. And if you say, but it's only 94 Psukim, Ayin Barashi, Rashi said, Ma Ra Koirach, L'shoseh, he said, L'kachas L'tzad, to Tzadi Dalet. So even Koirach went to Daf Tzadi Dalet. So that's why we're learning Daf Tzadi Dalet.
94th Daf.
What?
It's a 94th Daf. I was going to say that too.
So I just bavarned that. That's why Rashi says Koirach took himself Letzad Acher. He took himself to Daf 94. I'm on it. I know. Okay, so it's Beferish and Rashi. That Korach took himself to Daf Tzadi Dalet. It's a raya that when you learn Parshas Korach, you learn Daf Tzadi Dalet. Fine. We're on, and also we're starting on Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis anyway. So here we go. Says the Gemara, seven lines from the bottom. Hanu Tre Shtori, the Asla Kamed Rabbi Yosef. Two Shtoris came before Rabbi Yosef. Chad have a Kosov B'chamsha B'nisan. One was written on the 5th of Nisan, v'chadav ha'kasa b'nisan. And one just said, b'nisan stoma. So the thing was, both shtaras were for the exact same piece of land. Ukmei Rav Yosef. Now the guy whose shtar said Nisan, he could be the first of Nisan, he could be the last of Nisan. So, Ukmei Rav Yosef ahu d'chamsha b'nisan b'nachasim. Rav Yosef gave it, he gave the piece of land to the guy who Shtar said the 5th of Nisan. After all, he has conclusive evidence he's the 5th. And the other person, he could be later. Amar Leidach, so the other guy said, V'ana afsad, I should lose out. Amar Leidach, look, ad yod chal tachtoino, your hand is on the bottom. Ema bar chav tes b'nisanad, because you could say you're a 29th of Nisan guy, you know? That's what we could claim. Well, at least allow me to collect from anyone who bought land from Rosh Chodesh Iyar and on, because I bought before. So any buyer that has property that bought from Rosh Chodesh Iyar and on, write me a shtar that I could collect from them, because I definitely bought by Chav Tes Nisan. So Rav Nachman said, Rabbi Yosef said, sorry, can't do that. Because if, let's say, somebody bought something in Rosh Chodesh Iyar, he could say to you, why in the world should I give you this piece of land? Because you bought land before me? But, you know which land you should take? You should take the land of the guy. You should take the land that was sold to you, because you preceded the other guy. It's very nice that you lost your case to the other guy who says of the 5th of Nisan. But I claim, I would say you came before him. So before you take away my field, you should take away his field. So don't come to me to take away my field. Go take away the guy whose field, who has a shtar for the 5th of Nisan. He could say to you, Ad bar chad b'nisanat, you're a first of Nisan guy. So my takante, what this guy is basically up to creep without the paddle. He can't take it away from the 5th of Nisan guy, because the 5th of Nisan could push him off to the 29th. He also can't collect from people later, because they all say, don't collect from us. You should be taking the field that was sold to you, namely the 5th of Nisan. So my takante, nichtavu harshal hadadi. They'll write a power of attorney to each other. Namely, from now on, he could then go to somebody who property was sold to them on ER or later, and when they say, well, what do you mean? Go take that field. So you could say, look, I'm acting as a representative on behalf of that person. So I have his power. You can't push me off to him because he has empowered me to collect. So if you're going to tell me I should go to him, Elamai, you're going to say that I don't have to go to him because I'm on Chavtes, well then I'm going to collect through my own power. So Miman of Shach, you can't tell me not to collect. If you feel that, in other words, if you're going to send me to him, but I have his power, he gave me his power, so I'm going to collect from you. And if you say that I shouldn't go to him because I came later, well then I could collect from you on my own power. Okay, says the Mishnah. Mi shehayu nasui beis nashim, someone who is married to two women. Umachar sadeo, he sold a field. And that field could have been used to collect the ksubas of these women. So he married two women, and then he sold the field. V'kasa rishayna lekeach, and the first woman wrote to the buyer, dinu dvarm ein li imcha, I have no claim on you. Meaning I'm not going to take away your field to collect my ksuba. So the halacha is, if the husband dies, hashniya maitzia mehalakeach rishayna mehalakeach, the second woman could collect from the buyer, because she never told the buyer that she's not going to collect it. Verishayda, and once the second woman collects it, min hashniya, the first woman could then take it away from the second woman, because the first woman only said, I'm not going to take it from the buyer, but she never said, I'm not going to take it from the second woman. So the second woman took it from the buyer. The first woman took it from the second woman. The buyer can now come and take it from the first woman. V'alakech min arishana, the buyer could take it from the first woman because the first woman pledged that she's not going to take it from the buyer. And then the second woman could take it from him, and then the first woman could take it from the second woman. And v'chayzeres chalila, and it becomes a never-ending cycle. Ad shiyasu b'shara b'neim, until they make a compromise among them. V'chein bal chayv, the same thing would be for a bal chayv. V'chein isha balas chayv, or a woman who is a balas chayv who owes money. We'll see in the Gemara what this refers to. Break the Gemara. So this woman wrote to the buyer, I have no claim on you. Says Gemara, v'chi kasva le mayhave. And if she wrote this, who cares? But Tanya, we learned in a brisa that saying that I have no claim on you is not binding. Ha'imel chavera, someone says to his friend, dinu dvarm ein li asadazu, I have no claim on this field. Ve'ein li esek ba, I have no business with it. V'yadim sulakas heimena, my hand is removed from it. Lo yamar klum, it's like she said nothing. It doesn't mean anything. To say that I have no, I relinquish my claim on this, it's meaningless. Says Gemara, here, not only did she claim, I have nothing, I have no claim, not only did she say, I have no claim on this field, but she made a kinyan. We learned earlier that if a kinyan was made, So then it's binding. Says Gemara, really? By a woman who makes a kinyan, is it binding? We're going to see there's a concept that she might make a kinyan because she wants to find favor in the eyes of the husband, but she doesn't really mean it genuinely. Says Gemara, v'chi kanu miyada mayhava. And if a kinyan was made, who cares? Tema, you could say, nachas ruach asisi, she could say, a nachas ruach I'm doing labali to my husband. I'm just trying to give him some pleasure that I'm not concerned about about collecting the ksuba. Miloy tnan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, lakach min ha'ish, this is very interesting. Let's say a man buys a field from a husband. Now this field, it's not going to be a full-fledged sale because it's still meshubah to her ksuba. V'chazar v'lakach min isha. And then he bought it from the woman. Mekchai batal. The mekach is batal. Why? Even while the husband is alive. Now the Gemara Bava Basra, Rashi quotes, says that it's talking about a field that was basically designated to be used for a woman to collect for her ksuba. So if somebody buys this field from the husband and then buys it from the woman, it's not a valid sale, because the woman could say, I didn't really mean to authenticate the sale. I just wanted to give nachas ruach to my husband. Alma yichayla hishatama. So from here we see, she could say, nachas ruach asisi labali. I want to do a nachas ruach for my husband. So how could you say that in our Mishnah, if she said dinu dvarm ein li imcha bishakanu miyadai, even bekanu miyadai, she could still say, nah, I didn't mean it. I only wanted to make a nachas ruach for my husband. Amar Abzera, Amar Abchizdo laikasha, Harab Meir, Harab Yehuda. It's machlokes Rab Meir and Rab Yehuda whether a woman could say, I wanted to make a nachas ruach for my husband. Namely, the Tani we learned in a Braisa, Kasav Larishain, V'loi Chas Malai. If let's say a man sold a field to one guy and she did not sign it away, meaning she did not authenticate the sale, she did not verify the sale, she did not uphold the sale. So basically what that means is she doesn't like the sale and she wants to be able to have that field to collect her ksuba. Lesheni, if then he sells it to a second guy, a different field, v'chas malai, and she signs it, ibduk subasa, she totally loses the ability to collect the ksuba. Now, from the second guy, obviously she can't collect the ksuba because she signed away and she verified, she upheld the sale. But why can't she collect from the first guy? The answer is because the first guy could say, you're right, you didn't verify the sale. But when I bought it, I left you something else to collect from. You don't collect from me. You have no right to collect from my B'nai Chayrin right to collect from my Meshubadim when I left you B'nai Chayrin. So, you have no right to collect from my B'nai Chayrin when I left you, from my Meshubadim when I left you B'nai Chayrin. So, Rav Meir says, Ibduk Subasa. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Yechayla Hi Shatam. She's able to say, Nachas Ruach Asisi. I wanted to make a Nachas Ruach, Labali, Atem Alachem Alai. So what are you coming to me for? Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we don't say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. And Rav Meir holds, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion she could say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali, and Rav Meir doesn't buy into that. So our Mishnah, that a woman could say Dinu Dvarm Ein Li Imcha, obviously that's going like Rabbi Yehuda, that we don't subscribe to Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. For Rabbi Sassam Lahachak Rav Meir, our Mishnah, Rabbi was Sassam like Rav Meir, that a woman cannot say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. V'sasam Lai Hasam K'Rabbi Yehuda. And over there, when it says Lakach min ish v'chazar v'lakach min ish hamek chay batal, that's going like Rabbi Yehuda, that a woman could say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. So our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. Our Mishnah that she could say Din Varm Ein Li Imcha, which is binding, is going like Rav Meir, who does not subscribe to Dinu Dvarim Einli, who doesn't subscribe to Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. And the other Mishnah that says Lakach Min Ha'ish V'chaza Lakach Min Ha'isha Mekchay Batal, that goes like Rabbi Yehuda, that a woman could say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. Rav Papa Begrusha V'Dibrei Yakal. Rav Papa says, no, really both the Mishnah and the Braisa we don't have to say the Mishnah is Rav Meir. Our Mishnah is Rav Meir, and the other Mishnah in Gittin is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rav Meir doesn't hold the Nachas Ruach, and Rabbi Yehuda does. Maybe everybody holds a woman could say Nachas Ruach. But our Mishnah is talking about a grusha, a woman who's divorced, and a woman who's divorced, there's no tzad that she's going to say, oh, I was trying to make my husband feel good. Well, you're not married to him anymore, so there's no svar of nachas ruach asisi lebali. So our Mishnah then would have to be talking about a grusha, a misha haya nasoi beiz nashim, umachar sadeu, v'kasa rishana lekech dinu dvarm ein liimcha. That would have to be where, and he divorced her, and then she says, dinu dvarm ein liimcha. Ravashi says, no, really, I'll tell you, both our Mishnah, that holds, we're not worried about Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali, and the Mishnah of Lakach Min Ish V'Chaz Lakach Min Isha Mekhoi Batal, it's going like Rav Meir, that there's no Svara of Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. But, like this, it's all Rav Meir here. And really, Rav Meir holds that we do say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. And that's why the Mishnah in Gittin, Lakach Min Ish V'Chaz Lakach Min Isha Mekhoi Batal, is because a woman could say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. Why? In our Mishnah, is it upstanding? So watch this. It's all Rameir. But Ad Kam Leikam Rameir Hasam. Rameir only said that Kasav L'Rishan V'Loi Chasma L'Sheni V'Chasma Ibduk Subasa. We don't say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. That's by two buyers. Rameir only said over there, Ad Kam Leikam Rameir Hasam Ela B'Shnei L'Kuches. There are two buyers. The Amrila, because we say to her, obviously, you weren't trying to make a Nachas Ruach for your husband. Because if you were, then why didn't you sign it away to the first buyer? The Amrila, Yisa, the Nachas Ruach of the Avadet, if you wanted to make a Nachas Ruach, Lekami Baylech Lemevan, you should have done it to the first one. When he sold it to the first one, you should have signed it and approved of it. But if there's one buyer, Afil Rameir Maida, even Rameir would be Maida, that you could say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali. Aye, and in our Mishnah, why do we not say it? Masis in the Kasav Lala Achar. Our Mishnah is talking about where the husband wrote to someone else before, and she didn't sign on it, and now she signed on it. So we don't say Nachas Ruach Asisi Labali, because if so, then why didn't you do it to the first buyer? Okay. Now we have a very interesting principle. If, let's say, I owe you money. So the halacha is, you're going to come and collect. You're going to collect from B'nai Chayrin. The halacha is, before you collect from property that I sold, you first collect from property that's available. Now, normally, if I owe money, I have to pay beinonis. However, if all my beinonis is sold, you're going to collect what I have currently available, even if it's ziburis. Tanan hasam, we learned over there. Ein nifra min nechasam mishubadim b'makam sheish nechasam neicharin. You do not collect from property that is sold, that has a lien on it, if there is property that is free right now. Even if that property which is free is ziburis. So you would think the creditor should say, look, I'm happy to collect from your free property, but if you owe me money, you have to give me beinonis. And if the beinonis is sold, then I'm going to go collect from the beinonis which is sold. So we say, no, you cannot go and collect from nechasim mishubadim. If there are b'nei chayrin, you cannot collect from property which is sold. If there is available property, even if that property that's available is inferior quality. Now the million-dollar question is, ibaylahu. Ishtaduf b'nei chayri mahu. I understand if I have free land, you can't go collect from land which is sold that has a lien on it, even if it's beinonis, if I have free land. But what if the free land that I have is ruined? What's the halacha if the free land that I have is ruined? Can I still say, well, don't go and collect from the chasim mishubadim if they're b'nei chayrin?
I mean, what's the what? How do we understand this then? Do we say, well, nechasim mishubadim is categorically removed from collection when they're bnei chayran, and even if the bnei chayran are ruined, you can't collect from nechasim mishubadim? Or is it, if you have a better option of nechasim bnei chayran, you'll collect from them, but if they're ruined, it's not a better option? So we're going to try to bring a proof from what we said earlier, from the Braisa, Kasav Larishain Veloy Chasma. If he wrote property to the first guy and she didn't sign on it, the Chasma Lasheni, and he wrote property to the second guy, the Chasma Lai, Ibda Ksubasa, she loses the Ksuba. Now she can't collect from the second guy because she approved the sale. And she can collect from the first guy because the first guy could say, why are you collecting the ksuba for me? I left nechasim, I left bnei chayren. When I bought the first land, I left bnei chayren by the husband. So you have no right to collect from me. I left bnei chayren. They're not bnei chayren anymore. That's your problem. Now think about it. This is a case where the nechasim bnei chayren got ruined. She ruined it by signing them away. So why would she lose the ksuba? Why can't she then collect from the first guy? Isn't this a case where the first land is what we call mishubadim, and the second land was bnei chayren, but it was bnei chayren that got ruined? If when bnei chayren are ruined, you could go collect from the mishubadim, nehid if the ksuba samisheni, I understand she loses the ksuba from the second guy, may reshine mia tigbi, but from the first guy, she should be able to collect, because I understand she didn't collect from the first guy, because the first guy could say, I left bnei chayren. But now, the bnei chayren that he left got ruined. So why can't she go back and collect nechasim bnei chayren from the first guy? It must be that you don't collect nechasim. Right? In other words, why doesn't she collect nechasim mishubadim from the first guy? The reason why she doesn't collect from the first guy is the first guy says, you can't collect from my nechasim mishubadim because I left you bnei chayren. But that bnei chayren is not available anymore. It got ruined. That bnei chayren got ruined. So why don't we say she could go collect from the first guy? It must be, even when bnei chayren get ruined, you still don't collect from nechasim mishubadim. If when bnei chayren get ruined, tarfmi mishabdi, so nehi de ibda ksuba samishay, understand she's going to lose the ksuba from the second one because that's bnei chayren that got ruined. May rishon mi atigvi. Am Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. No, maybe she could collect from the first one. My ibda. What does it mean she loses the ksuba? Ibda misheni. She loses from the second one. But the first one, it's basically mishubadim when bnei chayim got ruined. So Gemara says, Amar Nachmar Yitzchak. I'm sorry, Amar Rava. Rava said, Shtei Tshuvas B'davar. There are two questions on this. There are two refutations. Don't say ivda means misheni. Chadad ivda legamri masha. First of all, she lost it implies it's completely lost, and she can't even collect from the first guy, so you can't collect from mishubadim, maybe, if bnei chayim are ruined. And second of all, we have a proof that she can't collect from the first guy, even though the nechasim bnei chayim got ruined. What's the proof? Oy Tanya, lava min ha'echad, we have a braisa. If somebody borrows from one guy, umachar nechasav l'shnayim, he borrowed from one guy, and he sold property to two people. And v'kasa bal choyv lekech sheni, the bal choyv writes to the second buyer, dinu dvar me'en li'imcha, I don't have any claim on yours, on your property. So that's a case where the nechasim b'nei chayim got ruined. He should at least be able to go collect from the first guy. Ein loy alokech rishon klum. He cannot collect anything from the first guy. Why? Because the first guy could say, "M'nei shiachal emer yinachdi l'chamakam l'gris mena." The first guy could say, "I left you b'nei chayim to collect from." In this case, it got ruined. So we see, even when it gets ruined, you can collect from mishubadim. So l'chayim, this should prove that when b'nei chayim get ruined, you can't collect from mishubadim. Because the person could say, "Look, I left you b'nei chayim to collect from." But the Gemara says this is not a proof at all. This is not a proof that when b'nei chayim get ruined, you could collect from. You can't collect from mishubadim, because you know in this case it's not like the b'nei chayim got ruined. It's in this case, the creditor was the one who ruined it by saying, "I have nothing to do with this field." So in this case, hasam iu da afsid nafshi biyadayim. Here, you can't prove that when b'nei chayim are ruined, you not collect from mishubadim, because here she lost the ksuba. You know why you can't collect from the first one? Because he was mafsid anafshi biyadayim. Because he, by writing to the second guy, to the b'nei chayim, "I have no collection on it," he's the one who ruined it. He ruined it. He said he's not going to take it. So, no. But if, let's say, a natural disaster strikes b'nei chayim, maybe you could collect from mishubadim. But in this case, it's not a natural disaster. The reason you can't collect from the mishubadim is the guy himself ruined the nechasim b'nei chayim. Okay, so we'll pick it up here tomorrow. We might do a blot and a half this week to stay on top of things in the summer. So maybe we'll do it. If all goes well, we'll do an amud on Thursday night as well, with your permission. I don't want to fall behind in the summer, okay? Great to see everyone. Everyone means even you. Okay. You like that? Daf Tzadi Hey. And it's a good one. Okay. All right, you're not that impressed. It's okay. Have a good night, everyone. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.